Patriot Pack today.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning here on the Genesis Communication Network, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and the myths associated with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to help you understand what is actually occurring, all while trying to predict how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you will be able to replace religion with reason and engage in a relationship. Our phone number, if anyone would like to participate in our discussion, if you'd like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours, it's toll free, 877-300-7645. My goodness, there are so many concerning bits of evidence that have been swirling around and spooling around this whole episode of the Boston bombing. One of the most disturbing of those episodes is that FBI agents interviewed the lead suspect. We'll call him Suspect One because that's what he was called in the media. Tamerlan was his name. He was investigated by the FBI just 2 years ago. The Russians called and said, you know, this family is has terrorist links. The family, mother and father, are both of concern, and we have evidence that so is Tamerlan. You ought to go interview him. He is it's a bad deal, a bad situation here. Now, the fact that the Russians would provide this news to us is amazing in itself, because we provided the Tsarnaev family with asylum. Asylum means that we were acknowledging that the Tsarnaev family were potentially victims of atrocities that would be perpetrated against them by their government, and that if they did not receive asylum in the United States, that they would be harassed by their government. Well, the government of the regions that the Tsarnaev families lived is Russia. And the reality is that the reason that the Russians are rule that region with an iron hand is because they have endured for more than 15 years an onslaught of savage terrorism perpetrated by Chechenian Muslims. The Moscow theater bombing, one of the worst terrorist incidences in modern history, was perpetrated by the Chechenian Muslims. There was a series of a dozen hospital bombings that were savage, perpetrated by Chechenian Muslims. There was the worst, I think, from a moral decadence point of view, from a total depravity perspective, the worst terrorist attack in modern history was the Velsin school attack perpetrated by Chechenian Muslims, where little children became the victims. They were strapped with explosives and murdered in the name of Islam. And so here the terrorists were viewed as the victims by the United States and our Immigration Department, and the Tsarnaev family was given asylum here in the United States. We brought the cancer into our country. And yet the Russians, whom we were thumbing our nose at, who we were suggesting were the oppressors in this case, were kind enough to give us a heads up and said, this boy's trouble. The FBI interviewed him in 2011, just 2 years before the bombing. The request stated that it was based upon information that he was a follower of radical Islam. Boy, I tell you what, if I hear radical associated with Islam, well, I just wish I got a dollar for every time it was being spewed out of someone's mouth. Think about this for a moment. If someone followed everything that character known as Jesus, his actual name is Yahusha. Somebody followed everything that he said, and they attempted to emulate his example. Would you consider them a radical, or would you consider them a fundamentalist? Why is it that when somebody tries to emulate the life of the Messiah Yahusha, known as Jesus Christ to Christians, they are considered a fundamentalist? And yet, if someone tries to emulate the life of Muhammad, they're considered a radical. The term radical is being misapplied 100% of the time when it's being used to describe Islamic terrorists. They're not radicals. They're fundamentalists.
Me and you have talked about this numerous times where I love how everybody's so ready to blame a gun, or, you know, it was the gun. If the guns weren't there, we wouldn't have this problem. When something like religion is a far bigger piece of somebody, of what people take into their, who they are. I mean, right. Religion is a far bigger piece. Like, you can have a gun, but I don't know many people that, I have a gun, therefore I am who I am, you know?
Yes, the gun doesn't define the person, the religion does.
Exactly.
The gun doesn't motivate the person, the religion does. The gun does not create the cause, the religion does. The gun doesn't provide the excuse or the justification, the religion does. So everything we can learn that has merit is found in the religion, and yet we're unwilling to hold the religion accountable, but we do want to hold the gun accountable. Something's seriously wrong with that thinking, isn't it? The realization that the FBI, at a tip from the Russians, interviewed Tamerlan 2 years ago, investigated his whole world, and yet decided, no, we know that he's a strong believer. We know that he has ties to what they would call radical Islam, that he is listening to and posting videos of preachers that are calling for worldwide mujahideen jihadist attacks, terrorist attacks on the world, beheadings of individuals, the bombings of communities. We know that's what he's listening to. We know that he's a strong believer in Islam, but no, we don't see any cause to detain him, to deport him. Imagine that. No cause. The FBI here is incapable of making the connection between fundamentalist Islam and terrorism. No cause. So why did those bombings happen? Because the FBI blew it. That's why they happened. Yes, the motivation was Islam, but the FBI was tipped off in advance and blew it. And yet everyone wants to praise the FBI. Oh, boy, songs to the country and patriotism and great thanks to the FBI for the wonderful case they did. Even when the FBI had pictures supplied by private industry of the perpetrators, they weren't even able in Boston to make the connection between the very perpetrator that they had interviewed. Suspect number one in Boston, the FBI had interviewed just 2 years ago. And in Boston, the FBI couldn't make the connection. They themselves couldn't do it. Why are we spending the money? What's the value? And what's wrong with American immigration? That they would get on the wrong side of this issue. It's like giving the mythical people known as the Palestinians asylum. It's like providing asylum for Somali Muslims, Sudanese Muslims, bringing a cancer into this country. When you are this stupid, these kinds of things continue to happen. And worse, even after it happens, even after we find out that our own government blew it and that the motivation was Islam, we still don't seem to be able to process any of it in a rational way. The FBI learned that the Tamerlane had changed drastically beginning in 2010 as he prepared to leave the United States and travel to the countries to joined his father. Now, a lot is being made of what did he do during those those 6 months that he was there. He helped his father build and remodel his apartment, is what he did. An FBI official declined to name the foreign government, but the FBI took a number of investigative steps to check on the request, including looking at his travel history, checking databases for derogatory information, and searching for web postings. They found exactly what was found this week: an affinity for Islamic terrorist rhetoric. They found that his mother is in jail for thievery, that his father, when interviewed, sounds as much like a fundamentalist Muslim as anyone I've heard in a long time, completely and utterly delusional, blaming everyone except himself, except his children, except his religion. It was just like the uncle that was interviewed. When he screamed out, he says, "I can tell you that if anyone tries to blame Islam on this, it's a fraud, a complete hoax, a total fraud." And yet on Friday's program, we spent the entire time reading from the Quran and Hadith. The majority of the Medina surahs and virtually every hadith from the first 10 years of the Islamic era are violent, calling for armed insurrection against the world. Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. By his own admission, he became successful in promoting his religion because he was a terrorist. Allah presents himself as a terrorist throughout the Quran. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out the connection between Islam and terrorism. Just read the book. Agents also interviewed Tsarnaev's family members, the FBI said, but did not detect terrorist activity. Well, I tell you what, I listened to 20 minutes of the interview with his aunt, who is up in Canada, and I tell you what, I would have declared myself an orphan if I had been associated with that evil woman. Here's the woman that initially signed the papers that facilitated these boys being brought into the United States, and she feels no remorse and instead blames everyone for setting her sons up, her nephews up, as if Islam had nothing to do. She even talks about, oh, they started to pray a lot more often, but what can the harm be in more prayers? Well, the harm is when you're praying to a God of death and destruction, of deceit and damnation, there is nothing but harm that results from such prayers. We'll be back in a moment. Water. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Mists. I am Yana. We're considering the FBI, who everybody wants to praise, who is as culpable in the Boston bombing as they were in 9/11. They interviewed the perpetrator of the Boston bombing. It's not that their intelligence, it's not the CIA intelligence, it's not that the billions upon billions that America pays on military intelligence or the billions upon billions that we pay for for our surveillance intelligence. None of it came up with the fact that Tamerlan was a potential Boston Marathon bomber. No, it's the Russians. The Russians told us that his parents are rotten, the kid's rotten, you ought to do something about him before something terrible takes place. And the FBI, given that this information on a silver platter, interviewed him. We're going to talk about the mother's review of that meeting, the mother's or the father's review of the meeting with the FBI in a moment. But just this heads up, for those who do not know, the FBI was given the plan for 9/11, what targets would be bombed, what airports would be used to hijack airplanes, how the pilots would be trained, and they weren't trained by Osama bin Laden. They were trained here in the United States, how they would go to flight schools here in the United States to learn how to fly planes into those specific buildings. That plan was conceived by Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines back in 1995. And in 95, by dumb luck, the FBI, the CIA, the National Intelligence Services of this country were unable to find this on their own, but the Philippine government gave it to us on a silver platter. A Abu Sheikh member, Ramzi Youssef, computer files regarding the plot for 9/11 was given to the FBI. And yet the FBI did nothing. The FBI didn't tell flight schools, hey, if you have Muslims, boys that come in and feign an interest for flying airplanes, they don't want to land them, they don't want to take them off, they just want to fly them. If you have this happen, contact us. They didn't even bother to do that. And worst of all, when the suicide bombings of 9/11 occurred, the FBI never came clean and said, we were told about this plot. It was a plot by Ramzi Youssef. There's no reason for us to lash out to find the perpetrator. The perpetrator is already in custody in Colorado. We tried and convicted him on the first bombing of the World Trade Center. Didn't fess up. Same thing here. Didn't have any accountability. Didn't do anything to stop it, which means that they are in a very real way, an accomplice. And then did nothing to admit their culpability later. Didn't even recognize the suspect that they had interviewed. Why bother with an institution that we spend all this money on that's this incompetent? The FBI came to the boys two or three times asking, are you Chechens? Okay. What does that have to do with the price of potatoes? Is anyone harassing you? Well, they were let in for asylum for alleged harassment when they were the harassers, not the harassees. The answer was, why would anybody offend us? Then they came again. They said they wanted to talk to Tamerlan. When we didn't know what was going on, we didn't know whether he had done something, but they were saying, oh, it's nothing. It's just routine. Yes, the FBI comes and wants to conduct an interview with you, and it's nothing. It's just routine. They lied. They talked to us at our house. Father Anzor Sazarev told the state-run RIA Novosti news agency, quote, I heard myself that they, the FBI, said, we know what you read, we know what you drink, what you eat, where you go. And then they added that that's routine practice to prevent bombings on the street of Boston so that our kids can go to school in peace. This conversation happened half a year ago, but I kept asking, why did they have to come to talk to him about that then? So according to the father, now I'm not telling you that the father's the most credible source in the world, even as recently as 6 months ago, the FBI claimed to know everything. Oh, what you read, what you drink, what you eat, everything but what you believe. Everything but what you're motivated to do. And then they said, we're here and we are spying on them and you because we want to prevent bombings in the streets. The very bombings that occurred. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. There are so many issues associated with the Boston bombing that are troubling. Here we learn that once again intelligence is handed to America. America spends more money on intelligence than the rest of the world combined, and yet we can't even get out of our own shadow. The intelligence regarding 9/11 was given to us by the Philippine government 5 years before 9/11 occurred, almost six. The intelligence regarding the potential for Tamerlan to perpetrate this kind of plot was given to the FBI 2 years before it occurred, and yet our intelligence community, even when it was handed to us, couldn't do anything with it. We can't process it, which means that we're incapable of thinking. We are unwilling to make the connection between Islam and terrorism in the FBI and in the American judicial system, which means that, yes, they found out that these boys, particularly Tamerlane, was infatuated with the rhetoric regarding the promotion of Islamic terrorism. And yet that was not a reason to detain him or to deport him. We facilitated a bombing by providing asylum for the perpetrators of terrorism as opposed to the victims of it, which goes to the heart of our immigration issue as a country. We don't even know what the FBI did 2 years ago in trying to solve a crime. They can't even recognize the person they themselves interviewed. Of course, there are more issues than just these. The constant discussion of international terrorism versus domestic terrorism is a smokescreen. It's unwilling to admit that Islam is responsible for 99% of terrorist acts worldwide today, and 99.9% when they're perpetrated in this manner. There's the issue of the Saudi national that's being discussed on so many different programs on radio, where there are a few people that are actually willing to question their government's behavior. People who have previously been blinded by patriotism are now saying, what in the world is going on with the Saudi national? We'll return to that story perhaps tomorrow. Here's the mother who is Zibidat Sanarov. She told Russia Today that the FBI had been checking on Tamerlane for 3 to 5 years. They knew what he was doing. They knew what sites he was visiting. They followed his every move. Yet today they say this was a terrorist act. She said, the FBI was afraid of my eldest son because he was a leader. He could stand up for himself and talked about Islam a lot. Once they officially called me and told me that they don't doubt his decency. But at the same time, they said that he gets information from extremist sites and that they are very afraid of him. This within the last 6 months. Earlier Friday, a U.S. official familiar with the latest information, intelligence information on the Boston Marathon bombing, said initial indications were that the two suspects do not have direct links to any major Al-Qaeda group or affiliates to new significant or to new significant terrorist threats to the United States. That is what's troubling the media and the politicians so much. They have been able to blame Al-Qaeda for everything, even though Al-Qaeda is irrelevant, has been irrelevant for a very long time, was only made relevant briefly by the CIA and FBI and other government agencies funding them, aiding them, arming them, so that they could attack the pro-Soviet government in Afghanistan, creating this murderous civil war. They were relevant for a short time then. They have been irrelevant for a very long time thereafter. And yet the nation wants to blame them. They don't want to hold Islam accountable. So the fact that the only connection between these boys and the motivation for the bombing is Islam, pure and simple, full stop, that they were not part of an international terrorist organization, even one associated with Islam, means that there's only one motivation. Pure, simple, unadulterated Islam. The Islam of Muhammad. Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Scott, you have a clip of the moments that the younger son was, Johar, was captured. And it sounds to me like he was captured with the same degree of intensity and loving care for a judicial trial that Osama bin Laden was captured, where there are hundreds of rounds of ammunition that are being shot at a person laying down in a fiberglass boat after firing hundreds of rounds at them previously. So you got to wonder about what it is about the perpetrators of Islamic terrorism that the American judicial system doesn't want you to know, doesn't want you to hear, doesn't want you to process as to why they don't want them to talk, why they don't want them to go to trial. Do you have that clip, Scott?
Yes, here it is.
As he was cornered, Jahar Sarnaya, police say, engaged them with gunfire. It went on for several minutes, and police lobbed in flashbang percussions to stun him.
Yep. Hundreds of rounds of ammunition being fired. Now, here's a guy that had bullet wounds to his throat and to his leg. He was bleeding to death. Almost died. There are video shots of him laying down, forward infrared shots of him laying down behind the seats in this tiny boat, just trying to survive. I don't feel any sympathy for the boy. But the notion that after firing allegedly 200 rounds at officers, which were fired at him, not from him, and then to be engaged in this automatic weaponry assault, those rounds weren't fired by Johar. They were fired by the FBI, by police, by supposedly the good guys. Now, you've got a kid here, 19-year-old kid that's bleeding to death, laying down. You can see that he's just laying down in a boat. They've got the infrared film of him laying down in the boat. Why would you shoot 200 rounds of ammunition? What are you afraid of? The whole thing is just rotten to the core. And then the media says, boy, we just simply don't know yet what inspired them to carry out the attack. The intelligence review says, we simply do not know how he may have been inspired by some militant ideology, can't even say Islam, or how he became such a disgruntled individual motivated to carry out the armed attack. We simply do not know yet, the U.S. intelligence officer said. And yet, the reality is that this, even their social media sites were plastered with all things Islam. Their worldview was Islam. They had an affinity for Islamic terrorism. He said, Tamerlan, I am very religious, adding that as a Muslim, he does not drink alcohol. There are no values anymore. People just can't control themselves, he said in his arrogant superiority. Here's a man that couldn't control himself and decided that he would bomb women and children, blowing off their legs, killing them. And yet he, in his holier-than-thou attitude, because he does not drink alcohol, he would assail others of not having values anymore and others of not being able to control themselves. His YouTube account under his own name linked to a sermon of Fayez Muhammad, a Lebanese-born Australian Salafist preacher who has called on Muslims to join the holy war. The Salafist preacher was Australian by citizenship, Lebanese-born, was not a Chechenian, and therefore his affinity here should have led anyone with an open mind to say, you know, Chechnya has very little, if anything, to do with it. These boys were never even in Chechnya. One of them, the younger, wasn't even born there. They have no affinity for Chechnya. This is just fundamentalist Islam. On the Twitter account of Johar, the youngest one, There's history of tweets on his Islamic faith. We, when we consider Prophet Muhammad, and peace be unto him, our role model, so when we consider Prophet Muhammad as our role model, that's when we achieve true success and the path to Jannah, which is paradise. He tweeted on January 19th in response to Ismail Melek, an Islamic sheikh in Zimbabwe, who he follows. Menk had tweeted, when parents are role models for their children, there's a greater chance of them developing and achieving more. He was motivating parents to become jihadists, to become terrorists, so that their children would follow them and become terrorists. It's what happens with the mythical people known as the Palestinians. But here's the key. Here is the incriminating statement. It's the confession. It's the answer to all of this. You don't need to know anything more than this. When Johar, the younger, suspect number two, put in quotes, when we consider Prophet Muhammad as our role model, that's when we achieve true success. Muhammad's signature was terrorism. He said, I have been made victorious with terror. He led and inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. There were only two defensive battles Muhammad fought. 75 offensive attacks. The offensive attacks were all where his mujahideen, his jihadists, his religious zealots were armed to the teeth, and they attacked a defenseless civilian community, terrorizing them, robbing them of their possessions, killing the men, enslaving the children, raping the women. That is the example set by Muhammad. If you follow him, you will be a rapist, you'll be a pedophile. You will be a ruthless terrorist, you will be a mass murderer. You'll be a kidnapper and slave trader. This is the reason for the bombings.
.com.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There's so much more to talk about. One of the things that is particularly disturbing is that right after 9/11, the media gave Muslim leaders the opportunity to lie about their religion, and yet would not consider allowing anyone to tell their listeners the truth about Islam. Here in the CNN article, the Islamic Society of North America released a statement applauding law enforcement's efforts, saying that no matter the motivation for these terrorist attacks, they will never represent the values or ideals of any religious or ethnic group, end quote. Well, the fact of the matter is that they do represent the ideals of Islam. Allah presents himself as a terrorist. Muhammad was a terrorist. The Quran orders Muslims to be terrorists, to be jihadists, to wage war against all humankind. And so there is nothing more in keeping with the religious ideals of Allah, the Quran, and the Hadith of Muhammad than what happened in Boston. And the leader of the Islamic Society in North America knows it. Nor is it true to say that the terrorist attacks do not represent the values of any ethnic group. There have been so many murderous, just unbelievably merciless murders in terrorist attacks perpetrated by the Chechens that it's impossible to disassociate them from it. People of all faiths, he said, know that the horrific acts committed by these perpetrators go against everything which God calls us. Well, their God, Allah, calls everyone to his cause, and he defines his cause as waging war against all non-Muslims. It is an outright lie. It is rather the loving, selfless acts of those who immediately responded to the scene that best uphold his teachings. No, that might be the upholding the teachings of Yahweh, that might be upholding the teachings of Yahusha, at least an aspect of them, but it goes against everything that Allah said. This is the Imam Muhammad Magid, who leads the 5,000-member Adams Center Mosque in Northern Virginia, a cancer right in the heart of America. Quote, at times like this, I am reminded of the verse in the Holy Quran, which is similar to one in the Old Testament. If anyone kills a person, it's like he kills all humanity, while if anyone saves a life, it is as if he saves the life of all humanity. Bull. The line in the Quran is not plagiarized from the Old Testament. First of all, of course, there is no such thing as an Old Testament, but it's not plagiarized from it. It's not found in the Genesis account. The line that was plagiarized to become the verse in the Quran was stolen from the Talmud. But because Muslims hate Jews and the Talmud is a purely Jewish religious document, they don't want to admit that. That's where the line was stolen. And this imam doesn't want you to be smart enough to read something in context. If you did, what he quoted was Quran 5:32. Quran 5:32 is the most vicious line ever uttered by anyone pretending to be God. It tells Muslims to attack non-Muslims, to kill them, to crucify them, to cut off an arm or a leg on opposite sides, to imprison them, to murder them savagely. And this imam knows that's what comes next. Everything he said was a lie. Everything he said was designed to mislead. And yet the media willfully, knowingly reported it. No one bothering to look up the context of his statement. No one bothering to verify whether he has lied through and through. Not a person in the media capable of being a journalist anymore, capable of thinking. And he got by with the lie because Americans are way too ignorant, way too irrational now to bother to think. Here's Americans thinking, believing that the best way to respond to these terrorist attacks is rather than to question their religion, rather than to question their media, rather than to question their government, rather than to question their judicial officials, they'll sing songs of praise to them. Rather than walking away from these institutions that have failed them, they sing songs to them. One last thought, and we will cover this at depth tomorrow. But there will be much rhetoric today in the news about the Saudi national who is about to be deported. The Saudi national who was behaving so improperly, the young Saudi man, so improperly at the scene, gloating at the scene that he was captured not by the FBI, not by law enforcement, by American citizens who witnessed the bombing. And he's scheduled to be deported today based upon a secret meeting between the Saudi ambassador and the President of the United States. And in there, my friends, there is another skunk in the woodshed. We'll cover that story tomorrow. When we return to Shattering Myths in a moment, we'll turn to the Torah.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers.